Pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, we're up and rolling here today. God bless you, folks. It's June 23rd. I just got chastised by my buddy Michael, who says, Coach, because I prayed thanking the Lord for June 22nd, and yesterday was June 22nd. This is June 23rd already. Man, I got a lot of stuff I got to get done here before the end of the month. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're back. Hey, we are in the new queue here today. By the new queue, I'm meaning we can get 30 of you in here. And here's what I'd like you to do. If you're out there, try to jump in this queue with us, would you? So some of you have never ever logged in. I hear from people who want to get in and never get in. We have room for 30 today, and I'd like to have kind of a team meeting today. You know, if you know what I'm talking about, I want to expand. I want to expand our territories here a little bit. And we had a great conference call last night. A couple things that really. You know, I'm looking at what's going on, what we're trying to do, whether we're being effective, whether or not. And I got a little bit frustrated because I think we're having great impact. I know we're having great impact, but not nearly what we could be having. Jump in here. I want all of you to jump in here. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle. CoachDaveLive.com and click over there. If you have to refresh the page, go ahead and refresh it. But eventually you'll get in here. We got room for 30 today. Right now we're up to about 12, so got room for 18 more of you to join in here. I had a couple interesting meetings yesterday. I'm not going to say who I met with, just not because I'm trying to be secretive, but I think it's probably good manners that you don't necessarily tell somebody, you know, you don't drop their name if you haven't gotten their permission to do it. But I was on with Pastor Paul Bagley yesterday. I don't know if you guys know Pastor Paul or not, but he's a good guy, good dude. And, He does a little 2-hour show every day, like I'm doing here. And I went to his YouTube page, because everybody streams YouTube like we're doing right now. Come on in here, all of you. Jump in here, CoachDaveLive.com, and join the huddle. And I'm not a numbers guy, but I'm smart enough to know that numbers matter. Does that make sense? I used to, when I was coaching football, in fact, when I was at, when I started rebuilding the football program at London High School in 1990. Hey, Jared, somebody, I just got a message from Robert, second one I've gotten, said they can't join the huddle because it says off the air. Is there something they need to do there, Jared? They're trying to get in?
Have them refresh the browser.
If it says not on the air or something like that, just refresh your browser and it should reset it and you can do it again. Try it again. Try it again, Robert, and if you get in, well, you ought to get in. Let me know. When I began rebuilding the football program at London High School, the program hadn't been good, and I went there in 1989, and they hadn't had a winning season since 1976, I believe, 13 years without a winning season. The program was really in a dumpster. And I knew that one of the things we had to do is we had to create some enthusiasm, get more people on the football team, get more guys engaged. And over the course of the next couple of years, I began to walk the halls. I'd walk the halls, and I came to the realization that a lot of the good football players were walking the halls. They weren't even on the team. And so I spent a lot of time standing out in the halls, and some big strapping kid would come walking by. I'd grab him by the arm and say, "Hey, man, what's your name?" He'd tell me, he'd say, "How come you don't play football?" I said, "Oh, Coach, I played back when I was in the seventh grade or whatever, and I had this now, and I got me a car." I mean, you'd hear all the excuses. And I'd say, "Listen, man, we need you. We need you. Let me see you. Can you do this?" And then I would do a jumping jack in front of him. And he'd say, "Yeah, I can do that." And he'd do a jumping jack. But awesome, man. We need you. We need guys that can do jumping jacks. I'd see another guy and I'd say, "Hey, can you do this?" And he said, "Yeah, I can do that. Man, listen, we need guys that can clap. We need guys who can do jumping jacks, and we need guys that can clap." And so some of these guys who had, they'd been walking the halls, And really, nobody had ever come to him and asked him to play. That's really what it was. It'd been a changeover of coaches. The team wasn't any good. They'd rather chase girls and cars and all that stuff. And I got him out. And we went in a four-year period. We went from 37 guys on the team when I went there in 1989, 37 guys, to 19. We peaked in 1994, maybe. We had 97 guys. I thought at one point I thought I was going to have to buy uniforms with number 1B on it because I was going to run out of numbers. I mean, you can't put number 101 on some guy and put him out there. We had so many guys out on the team, out on the field, that I didn't think I had enough equipment. And you say, well, Coach, why would you do that when only 11 of them can play? Well, actually, we get them on special teams. But the truth is, on Friday nights, not everybody played. And I understood that. But I said, listen, guys, this is really, really important. And before the game starts, we're going to run out and we're going to do our pregame warm-up. When we do our pregame warm-up, I'm going to have a pregame warm-up with 100 guys. I want 100 guys doing jumping jacks, 100 guys yelling, clapping their hands and chanting, because there's that intimidation factor that comes. We need a bunch of guys. We got to that point where when we came out of the locker room, it was like a parade. It took us forever. We'd run out and circle the field and come across the 50-yard line, and we'd zigzag back and forth. Those guys would line up. We practiced that. And all the time we were doing that, I knew the other team was watching. And the other team was watching this army of guys come running out on the field. An army of them. And that's why I said to those guys, when I said to him, can you clap? I'm trying to connect. We're having technical problems this morning, folks. Who knows why it is, but we are. I'm trying to keep hold of Jared here by phone. We really felt that the intimidation factor of having a lot of guys was really to our advantage. And it's one of the things that really helped us to get really, really good. Really, really good. So I also knew this, that when we got into one of the big games and we had to play our bitter rival, Wes Jefferson, still can't hardly say it gets stuck in my throat. But even though we had 97 guys on the football team, the truth was there were about 17 of them I was going to count on during the course of the game. I'd walk up and down the middle. As we were stretching and warming up before the game, I'd walk up and down the middle and I'd shake every kid's hand, lay a hand on his helmet and say a prayer just as I'd pass by. And we had 97, but I was looking for 17 that I knew were real players. That's the way it always is. And so I was yesterday when I was on with Pastor Paul Bagley, and I tipped my hat to him, and he had me on. I went to his YouTube page, and his YouTube page has like 170,000 subscribers. On his YouTube page, 170,000. And I checked out a couple other I don't want to be smart to anybody. A couple other internet sensations. And one had 250,000 subscribers to the YouTube page. And then I asked Jared, I said, Jared, how many do we have? And Jared said, well, Coach, I think we're about 4,500. Now, it didn't hurt my ego. I didn't think, boy, we sure are small. But I flashed back in my mind back to when we were stretching before the football game. There is strength in numbers. And you can go to a football game, and the Ohio State Buckeyes can run out there, and they can fill up the field. And when they fill up the field, if you're sitting there and you're watching, if you're up in the stands, you know what you're doing? You're looking for JT Barrett. You're looking down on the field. Which one's JT Barrett? You want to see which one he is. So even though Jerry T. Barrett is the one you came to play, to watch play, you're impressed by the numbers that they have. And we are getting beat in this battle because they have sheer numbers and we don't. And I go on and on and on. Those of you who watch the show regularly know that I talk about building your downline. Building your downline. By building your downline, I'm talking about each guy get a team of people under him and bring them in. Bring them into the fold. And I'm wondering, those of you who are watching right now, are you bringing people in? Are you sharing these videos? Are you talking about it? And listen, this is really, really important. I spoke to our guys at the boot camp about this from this perspective. Please listen. We are a force. And the last thing that you need to do is to share these videos and say, hey, you have got to watch this guy. Because, folks, it isn't about me. It's about us. It's about what we're trying to do. Am I the star? Am I JT Barrett? Yeah, I'm JT Barrett. I'm the star. But come on now. When we did our boot camp last Saturday, we brought guys in literally from all across the country. It was amazing. It was something to watch people get out of their cars and drive up and they say, hey, there's Sarge. They recognize Sarge from the show. Hey, there's Robert. They recognize them from the show. And this thing that we're trying to do isn't about me. This is a team movement. And when we went to the homosexual pride parade, we saw this. The other side's they're an organized team. We have no organized team. We don't have one. We're trying hard to try to do that. We jump in here. I'm looking right now. You mean to tell me all the people that are out there, only 16 people are jumping on here? Only 16? Now, if you're one of those people out there, can you explain to me why you won't click on and join the huddle and come in here and join us? This goes on all over the place. It's like Larry had some bumper stickers made up, said, drain the swamp, drain, baby, drain. And I thought, man, what a great idea. And Larry had a lot of them made up. And then I came to realize that people don't want to put them on their car. They don't want to put drain, baby, drain bumper sticker on their car because they're afraid somebody's going to get mad. Somebody's going to throw a rock through their window. Somebody's going to do something. See, we want victory without any effort. We want cyber victory. We want to say, oh, well, boy, Coach Dave and his guys, they're doing it. Well, what's with you? Why won't you come and help us? Why won't you? Now, I'm going to back up a little bit because a lot of it probably is my fault from an organizational standpoint. It probably is. And I'm trying to wake up men. I'm trying to train men. I'm trying to mobilize men. But I'm just a guy sitting in a studio. I go places. I do things. When you come to the Pride Parade, I'll be there. When you come to the boot camp, I'll be there. But I'm trying to help put a team around you. See, we ought to have teams. Rob Pugh, I don't know if Rob, I should have given Rob a fair warning to join us here this morning. Rob Pugh up at Wisconsin, he's putting together a team. He's doing it. And I wonder how many of you out there right now are putting together a team. I know Chad's trying to put together a team down in Texas. I know he's trying. Anybody else trying to put together a team? Sarge is putting one together up there in Maine. But how many of you watching this show every day, are you doing anything at all other than just watching? Are you sharing it? And see, this can't be a cult of personality. People are tired of following people. Don't tell people they have to watch Coach Dave. Oh, you got to watch this guy. No, we got enough of that. Tell people, look, I want you to come be part of what we're doing. Come and see what we're doing. Look at this video and see what we're doing. We got a team. And we're organized and we're moving forward. Come and join our team. Watch this and see if you'd like to join our team. Not me. Don't make me the center of it. People are sick of it. And see, the Salt and Light Brigade's about us. It's about us and what we can do. And we do a boot camp last week in Columbus, Ohio. And we have 18 guys come. And 18 guys come from far-flung places all across. Some come from Peru, right, Lindell? They come all the way from Peru to be part of the boot camp. And you know what grieves my heart? Is the guys who were at the previous boot camp, they have reasons. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. They didn't come and welcome the new guys. See, if the old guys had come, now we got a team of 50. And now all of a sudden say, hey, man, something's going on here. I can go next week and I can do a boot camp in, pick a state. I can go do a boot camp in Colorado. And I'll pick up 15 more people. They don't know the other 18 who knew the other 22. They don't understand that this thing's growing. And so as a result, we end up being isolated or the feeling of being isolated. We cannot win if we are not connected. And even right now, I'm sitting here. I got people that won't just click on that thing and join the queue. Come in here. I'm having a team meeting today. It's Friday.
Hey, Coach.
We'll start doing this. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't necessarily speak for the people who are watching right now and aren't joining the queue, but I can speak to the few people that I've suggested check it out on YouTube, and I've suggested that they get on the queue maybe. But, you know, I always tell people when I direct them to your channel on YouTube, I say, hey, you got to watch set 5 to 7 before I get any feedback from you. Because when it comes to, it's the things that we talk about on here, when it comes to some of that, those things of Christianity or politics, people have been just so conditioned to reject it outright that you got to get people to commit to more than once. You can't just say, hey, join the queue one morning. It'll scare people half to death. I mean, you can probably understand that, what yeah. I'm trying to say here, but it's, you got to get people to commit. And you know, the guys that I've suggested watch the YouTube videos, I get them to commit. Then we have a conversation afterwards. And it's like, yeah, at first I was a little bit put off, but you know what? I'm coming around to it. And, you know, maybe they don't watch every day, but it the conversation is a lot better if I can get them to watch 7 to 10 rather than just after watching one.
That's great. That's a great point, Dylan. And, you know, again, one of the problems we run into is it's an hour. It's long, right? I mean, it's a long time to watch it. So we're dealing with that. So I'm open to suggestions, right? I learned somebody told me a long time ago that if you're out front, you're being a leader and nobody's following, you're just taking a walk. Well, I don't want to just take a walk, and I'm not really interested in being a leader, but the fact is I am. I've been thrust in this position, and I'm having a hard time with our followers. I'm hard time finding guys that can clap. I'm having a hard time. And I wish some of you guys, maybe that came to the boot camp last week, could testify a little bit about what happened inside of you when you came. See, that's one of the elements I think we're missing. It's one of the elements. Yeah, yeah, Don.
A lot of those subscribers with Paul Bagley are bots.
Okay.
So you can't go by those numbers.
Gotcha, man. Well, I'd like to have a few bots on some other numbers. I guess it's an ego. It's not an ego thing. We can't win without numbers, Don. You understand that? We can't win without players. I mean, we can drop an atomic bomb, kill a lot of their players, but we ultimately can't win with players. So we had a conference call last night. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere, as I always try to go, to how to make this more effective. So I'm trying to open up the queue for people to jump in here and say, hey, what am I missing? What are we missing here, guys? What are the tools? Go to Jared. Where is that? Google it, Jared. I think it's in Corinthians. The fivefold ministry. That's the equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. See if you find that, Jared. When you do, tell me. Hey, Robert got in there. Ray's in here. Ray's been sending me stuff. Some of you guys out there really are anointed to do something, and the Lord's never—you've never had the chance, so you don't have any confidence. Nobody's ever told you your story's worth being told. Nobody's ever told you that your opinion matters. Nobody ever does. You have to go sit every Sunday and watch the professional Christians, and here you have this dynamic testimony inside of you that's not getting out. There's a lot of guys out there who've been beat down, who right now are listening to the show. But for whatever reason, they don't want to put the bumper sticker on their car. And we're trying to dig deep. We're trying to find guys. So I guess one of the things that did you find it yet, Jared? Yeah, you got it there. Thanks, man. Jared's having communication problems with us today. So folks, so bear with us. I want you to see something here that I think is really, really important. It's Ephesians 4. Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah, let's see. Yeah, okay. Let's try this, verse 16. No, I can't do that because it doesn't stop at a period. Well, but okay. Jared, let's go up a little bit. I'm sorry. Let's start up about number 6, maybe. Ephesians 4, verse 6. Let's try that. See what that takes it. Oh, there we go. Okay, good. Okay. Let's go to 1. Folks, here's what I'm trying to get. Here's where I'm trying to get. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Are you a prisoner of the Lord? If not, why aren't you? I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Are you walking worthy of the calling on your life? Are you being given the opportunity to live out the call on your life? Are you? Is anybody, any man, any pastor ever in your life ever grabbed you by the nape of the neck and said, listen, dude, we can use you. we need your gifts. Or have you been one of those guys that you go to church and they take your gifts? They do it all. They perform. And they want you to pay for the performance. Somebody can say amen, because I know I'm preaching to a lot of guys.
Amen. And
you guys are spiritually frustrated because there's no outlet in your life. None. And I'm trying to give you one. I'm trying to help you have an outlet. I value your gifts. Ray LeBlanc is making a couple videos. I won't drop the dime on what it is, though, Ray. And these are powerful little videos. Has anybody ever asked Ray's opinion on anything? I'm sure he has to interject it every once in a while, but has anybody ever come along and say, Hey, Ray, tell me your story. Has that ever happened? No, never happens. He's not giving us the opportunity to do that. And the scripture says they overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You got a story to tell. You got to tell somebody. The power of your personal testimony. Man, oh, man, that's a devil killer, man. But nobody's ever encouraged to do that. Nobody's ever trained to do that. Nobody's ever given a platform to be able to do that. And that's what we try to do. That's what we try to do. I take a quarterback in football and train him to throw the football, and then I try to give him a place where he can exercise that gift. And people come and watch him exercise that gift. But we got it backwards. When you go to the football game, church, you got to sit and watch everybody else play. Don't you ever want to play? Wouldn't you ever like to get out there? When you were a little kid, didn't you ever take a basketball and dribble down the blacktop and act with a basket up there? 4, 3, 2, 1, throw that shot and try to beat the buzzer. Didn't you ever do that? Don't you ever want to be a buzzer beater for Christ? There are so many talents and abilities and gifts sitting out here just in this queue. And you've been beaten down, told you can't do it, you're not good enough, you don't matter, you don't know what you're doing, all that. And so Christian men sit back and cower. And we sit back and cower and we watch these fire-breathing lesbians and their lesbian sissy boys take it to the streets and they're kicking our arse. And where are we? We're not doing anything. And I sent out a call. Come on, man, we need you. Can you clap? Can you do jump? We need you. Come on, come on. And guys won't even jump in here in the queue. They won't even click a button and get in the queue. What's wrong with you, man?
Coach,
what's wrong with you? What?
Coach, quit it. You're making excuses for the coward. They're not being beat down. They're comfortable. They don't want to be in the light. They don't want to do anything for God, but they want the treasures of God. So quit making excuses for the cowards. I see it every day. I don't have a down line because nobody wants to stand with you. So I'd rather stand with 3 or 4 brothers and go to my death standing than I had to be with 100 cowards.
I understand that, Robert, but you also know from having been there last weekend, we found 18 more guys that want to stand. I'm not talking about chasing down the cowards. I don't want them either. I want a guy in my foxhole who's going to blink when the shooting starts. You understand? I don't want that. But I'm telling you this, there are a lot of hand clappers out there who need to be part of this, who want to be part of this and need to be part of this. You're right, man. Building a downline's hard. Try to do Amway, try to get somebody to come in and do a multi-level market. It's hard. Everybody wants to do it right at the beginning, but when they got to go out and actually sell the product and recruit, that separates the men from the boys. So I'm not whining and groaning about that, Robert. I think you're right on, Robert. I don't want the cowards, but I think they're like, hey, Robert, who would have ever thought I could find you? How did that happen? How did I find Robert Sellers, the old trusty nose guard, doesn't mind getting double teamed? You think there are other Roberts? You think there are other Robert Sellers out there? I know there are. I know there are. How do we get them? That's the point I'm making. Did you want to say something, Ray?
It came to my thought there. One of us probably a little leery, not knowing really where our talents lie, what we're capable of doing. It reminded me of a commercial I once saw of a kid just throwing a baseball up in the air and then trying to hit it. And as he did, he kept yelling, "I'm the greatest hitter," and he missed. Throw it up again, "I'm the greatest hitter," and he missed. After the third time, he says, "I'm the greatest pitcher." That's where it is. Once you get your book and find it, and I think you can move in that direction.
Hey, Jared, hang. Thanks, Ray. Hey, Jared, I'm going to disconnect you a minute. I'll be right back. I got a call coming in. Glenn, you're on with the coach.
Hey, coach. You know, I also have been, for the sake of a better word, let me say this. I've been what I would call dripping on guys. And what I mean by that is that you can't inundate people because they will get turned off. But I've been trying to motivate guys in the church that I go to. So what I do is I pick certain programs and I send it out. I have about 60 guys, you know, 60, 65 guys that I will send a copy of the program. I'll just forward it to them. And can I read something to you? I think it was Wednesday's program to the guys. And the reason I sent it is that there was a lot of input from the people in the queue. It wasn't just you. It wasn't just you. So, you know, first of all, thank you guys for your interaction, because you're right. It's not about you, coach.
It matters. The interaction matters.
The men that are on the queue, okay, their faith, I can see it. Their faith is strengthening. It's growing every day. You know, George and Larry, and I'm going to leave somebody out, Sarge, you know, all the guys that contribute. Let me read something to you. Give me a minute. I just want to pull it up.
Sure.
Let me read the email that I sent to the guys on Wednesday's program that I sent them. Hold on. I can't find it, but I'll forward it to you, Coach. I'll forward it to you.
Well, you keep. I'm going to keep you right there a second. You keep looking, Glenn, while I read this scripture here. I feel bad because I've closed Jared out. Jared probably can't hear anything now. Just stay right there with me, Jared. Hey, Glenn, I'm going to disconnect you. You keep looking, and when you find it, you call me back. All right, Ben? Because we'd love to hear it. Let me, folks.
Okay, I have it up.
Okay, good. Go ahead and read it,
okay,
Glenn.
Let me read this. So it says, Men of Grace Fellowship, do you desire a men's Bible study or small group meet fellowship around God's Word? Do you think your faith will be strengthened by a man's small group? Personally, I'd like to get to know more of you guys, to pray, fellowship, dig into God's Word, and apply scriptural principles to our daily lives. Doesn't God's Word instruct us to meet disciples of all men? Do you find it difficult to share Christ with another guy? Would you find it easier to invite your friend to a men's fellowship group? Let them experience who God really is, meet other Christian men. I'd be interested in your thoughts on it. Do you think you'd benefit from it to join a men's small group? Remember, Jesus had 12 disciples, not 30. Those 12 changed the known world. How can our men's small group affect our community in Grand Prairie, our families, or the church community? Please send me an email and let me know your thoughts on this idea of men's small group. I'd imagine for this week's morning huddle session. Coach Dave Dobbsheimer does each weekday morning at 6 a.m. Central Time. Listen to the conversations and input from the men who participate each day. All of these men are growing spiritually because they are gathering around God's Word and learning to apply it to their lives. Why don't we do the same? Send me your thoughts.
Amen. Amen. Are you hearing from him, Glenn?
I'm hearing from a couple of guys. You know, I asked them. I don't know who's listening and who isn't listening or who tunes in. But when I go to church, I talk to some of these guys, and some of them do listen.
Hey, Glenn, it's like anything else, man. It's something new, and they're scared of it, and they don't know what to do, and it goes against everything that they've ever believed. Bless you, Glenn. Say hi to your wife, brother. There's a guy down in Glenn down in Texas. Let me get Jared back on there. He's probably screaming, hollering that he can't get in here with us. Glenn's chumming. He's doing the best he can to build a downline. So hey, Jared, I'm sorry, man. I know you probably couldn't hear most of that. Okay, so here we are. So let me get back here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. See, hang on a minute. Lowliness and meekness doesn't mean you crawl around like a snail. Meekness, first of all, means power under control. Lowliness means you don't come across as a braggadocious. Lowliness and meekness. Not like, oh, I ain't nobody, No, that's not what it means. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. You see, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. I could preach right there. Just right there I could preach. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he hath said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. You have gifts. Nobody's developing your gift. Now that he ascended, was it, what is it, but also that he that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now watch. Watch. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice how those two are connected. Pastors and teachers connected. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the purpose of these gatherings? Well, how about this? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints. Nobody's doing that. Nobody is doing that. That's what I want to try to do. Yeah, Larry.
Go one more verse, because it's very important that this program, this God-directed plan that you just read, is in effect until verse 13, till we all come into unity of the faith. We've got all this division and all this brokenness in the quote church. One believes one thing, one believes in another, and all this and everything. Hey, forget the denomination, forget the denomination doctrines, forget the pulpit teachings in the Bible, scrap it, find somebody that believes what it says in the Bible, then build your downline.
Amen, Larry. You know, we had that boot camp this weekend, and I don't think I ask anybody their denomination. I don't even know if we got it all into anybody's personal religious beliefs. We didn't argue about the rapture. We didn't argue about end time. We didn't argue about anything. We said, listen, put down all your swords against each other. We got to go to war together. That's the army we're trying to build.
Amen, Coach.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And unfortunately, it's like in a football game, perfecting of the team for the winning of the game. The perfecting of the team for the winning of the game. Nobody is doing that. You know why? Because we can't even tell you what winning the game looks like. We can't even tell you. And I know this, that through my coaching experience, I never know what play by whom is going to be the most important. Sometimes the least expected guy, I remember last year coaching, we went undefeated. Funny how that's happened to me twice last year. We went undefeated. And the last game, game number 10, man, it was nip and tuck. We could lose, and they get the game. And the other team has the ball. They're driving with less than 2 minutes. They're going to try to go down and score to beat us. And you know what happened? Lane Tillman picked off a pass. I could have put 30 guys out on the field and said, okay, who's gonna pick off this pass? And Lane would have been probably the 28th guy that anybody would have ever guessed. And Lane picked off the pass. We won the game when he secured the ball. Now, did he know going there that day that he was going to do it? No, but he came to practice every day. He worked hard, and he put himself in position to pick it off. We got guys who aren't even in position. They're not even on the field. How are they going to possibly, make a difference for the cause of Christ when you're not even on the field? And I tried to talk yesterday about the old retired guys. What is wrong with us old retired guys? Did you watch what went on in that election down in Georgia? Do you know that asshat guy was, he was 30 years old? 30 years old! And Serge, grown adults like me and you, men, voted for that 30-year-old asshat! What's going on? We're not even smart enough to say that guy don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. They almost elected him. Why? I'll tell you why. Because guys my age don't give a damn. They like to gripe and moan and complain, but they don't give a damn. They won't do any jumping jacks. They won't do any push-ups. They'll sit up in the peanut gallery and they'll gripe and moan and complain. And they'll point out how that other guy ain't playing very good, but they ain't playing. And here we are, the baby boomers. Serge, how long are you going to live? Larry, how long are you going to be alive? What in the hell are we waiting on? This is the crowning achievement of our lives. JR, you're pushing 70. What the hell are we waiting on? You going to wait till you're 80? Is that what you're going to do? I'll say, well, we'll get after it. If we can get Trump in there for a second election. Really? Are you kidding me? And see, we are losing because we will not fight back. Jared said something to me yesterday. We had a conference call. And Jared said, Coach, I enjoy coming to the boot camps. And I enjoy going to the gay pride parade. But we don't do anything. I said, what do you mean? He says, we never stop anything. We never prevent anything from happening. We never stand up and say, no, you're not going to do that. So that's what men want to do. Great. Where are they? Where are they? I can go out and lay down in front of the parade, arrest me, throw me in jail. Now where are we? I can take 5 of us. 10 of us, they can arrest us and throw us in jail. Where are we? Where are we? Where is our army? Somebody jump in here. See if you can rescue me. Still only got 16 people listening. 14 people now. They're not listening. I'm in the queue. I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear what we're not delivering. I want to hear what we're missing. I want to hear what you need and what we can possibly provide to help you. That's what I want to do. Hey guys, listen. I can sit in here every day behind this camera. I can tell a story about a dog that'll make a cat cry. You know, the Lord's given me the ability to do that. If I just want to build a radio ministry, a TV, I can do that. Go speak at conferences. I can go do that. Hell, there's all kinds of guys doing that. I want to make a difference. I want there to be a legacy. I want my life to have mattered. And we're here a year and a half later. And yeah, we've picked up a few bodies, but what? What have we done? What are we doing? Is anything changing? Trump got elected. Yes, we're okay. Going to go fishing. It's us. It's us old guys, see? We're the ones who've dropped the ball. We have. And why, if we're not willing to stand up and fight, I'm 64. If I'm not willing to stand up and fight at 64, will I be ready at 74? I wasn't ready at 54. And am I expecting a 34-year-old to do it? Well, the 34-year-old won't do it because he's watching me, and I'm not doing it. I'm talking in the church, by the way, in the church. Somebody jump in here.
Coach, can I say something?
No. Go ahead. Just.
I don't think we really believe that the Spirit works through us and in us. I really don't, because you would stand up. Coach, the Spirit is working in you to do what you're doing. And what you need is a core group of believers in the Spirit I'm talking about, who believe like you believe and want to do something. Now, when I'm just telling you from my experience, when Larry Nichols was doing what he did before the election of Trump, there were 18 of us, 18 people from across America, and we all did something on a small level, but great things happened because of those 18 people. There was connections, and there were things brought together that were of the Spirit, not just because they were physically done. It was the Spirit of God moving. And when you believe that the Spirit of God is moving, and you join in Him and leave yourself as an open instrument of His work, things get done. It may seem small, but the small, don't, what does it say in the scriptures? Don't mock small beginnings, because
despise
that's
not the days
really
despise not the days of small beginnings. Yes.
Yeah. It's in the Spirit. We've got to unite in the Spirit and move, because it's there. We can do it.
I agree, Michael, but here's the issue I think we're dealing with, see. And this is why I think it's important to me. We need 18 guys in Washington. We need 18 guys in Michigan. We need 18 guys in Maine. We need 18 guys in Mississippi. We need 18 guys everywhere. It doesn't take a million, but it takes some. And so when I talk about building the downline, that's what I'm talking about. It takes some. That's what I'm. See. Yeah, Jared, go to Isaiah 4. Go to Isaiah 4. Amen. Jesus doesn't want you to give Him anything that doesn't cost you something. Hang on there, I gotta find it. Isaiah, of course, I'd find the wrong one. Wouldn't you know it? Maybe it's 6, Jared. Try 6. Let's see here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. That doesn't mean His choo-choo train. It means His robe. And above it stood the seraphim, and each one had 6 wings, and 2 He covered with His face, and 2 He covered His feet, with 2 He did fly. And one cried out unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I, Isaiah, then said I, as I'm looking at what's going on, wow, woe is me. I'm undone. I ain't nothing. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. I ain't nothing. God, I ain't nothing. I'm a worm. Because now my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew over unto me. And he had a live coal in his hand, and which he had taken from the tongs with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and your sin is taken away, and your sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, so the Lord speaks up now, said, Hey, is there anybody I can send? Is there anybody who will go for me? Then I looked around. Nobody was doing anything. So I said, okay, Lord, here am I. I'll do it. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, send me. What a miserable life it'd be to be at the end of your life, to pass over into the other side and go stand before a holy and righteous God, knowing that you ain't done a damn thing for Him. Oh, you made all kinds of money. You played in the NFL, and they knew your name, and people came and cheered for you. The Bible says you're going to stand before Him, it's going to be filthy rags. Oh, my goodness. This is what I gave my life to? Are you kidding me? And the idea that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We believe that? Michael, like you said, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the risen Christ lives inside of us? Do we really believe that we have to go to church and have some pastor try to introduce us to this risen Christ? Don't you already know him? Doesn't he already dwell inside you? Didn't he say to you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? Didn't he say to you, go ye into all the world? Didn't he say that to us? Didn't he say that to us? And you're sitting around content, wasting away your life on meaningless stuff? When the scriptures tell us that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, it ain't money. World's full of paper money. It's not money. It's heritage. What are you wasting? What are you spending your life on? Yes.
You know, Coach, there's no question. There's no question. We're today, the United States is the Church of Laodicea. And that's a problem in and of itself. And you know, you talked this week about something's coming, and I'm telling you, too many of the watchmen are talking about something in the financial realm is coming, and it's going to get people's attention towards the people that are straddling the fence. Get off the fence. Get on this side. It's okay over here. It the water's fine, but I tell you, when something happens, Coach, I think we all know there's going to be a number of people that's going to force them off the fence and take one side or the other.
George, I couldn't agree more, and let me throw this one out at you. They're going to come to George, and they're going to say, hey, George, you've been telling us this. You've been talking about this, George. What do we do? What do we do now? And there are a lot of watchmen who are watching this show. You know, when I stand before Almighty God, this program ain't a hoot in hell. This is hot air. Holy Spirit's going to say to me, you blew that hot air good, but you didn't do much with it. He's going to say that to each and every one of you. Books are going to be open. We're going to be judged out of those books, what we did with what the Lord gave us. Read the parable of the talents. Guys did something with it. Didn't bury it. And America's full of men with buried talents. Go ahead, Mike.
Did you ever hear that story about the fence? That the man was on the fence, and he's standing between the two sides of good and evil, and he come to find out that the devil owned the fence.
Hey,
devil owns the fence. Yeah, Larry.
I just like to throw in here that in reality, when nitty gets to gritty, part of the definition or part of the meaning of the word believe includes the follow-up actions on what you say you believe. Like if you put money in a Coke machine, you start reaching for the Coke before it drops down because you believe it's coming. How many of us treat what we say we believe about the Bible and our relationship with Christ, how many of us act on that belief the way we do with a Coke machine?
Very great illustration, Larry. But we do think we sort of believe in regards to personal issues, but we don't believe in regards to all the issues. All the issues. Go ye into all the world. When you think about that a second, what is all the world? Media, education, business, government, music, carpentry, wire spreading, what they call it, goes linemen, athletics, in all the world. We're supposed to take our gifts and go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And I don't know if you've seen this or not. The devil is throwing us out of everything. Why is he throwing us out of everything? Because we go willingly. We think it's Christ-like to be defeated. We think when we get defeated, it shows a sign of humility and all. Look how well he handled that defeat. Oh, he is so full of Jesus. He got smashed, and look at him. He still has a smile on his face. Well, wouldn't it be a great idea to win and still have a smile on your face and be humble? I was talking yesterday, again, I'm not going to say who, I had a meeting yesterday with a gentleman who's trying to put together a TV series. By the way, a guy with the skills and the capability to be able to do it. This ain't some flunky down the street from me. And I said, listen, here's what America needs. This is what the Christian world needs. It needs courageous men. And we need stories showing courageous men. We don't need movies. We don't need TV shows of men who are living. Something happens in their life. We see how their life, faith carries them through, and it's all feel good at the end of it. What we need is we need videos. We need movies. We need TV shows of men who are out fighting the fight and got their arses handed to them. They got knocked down and everything taken from them. And at the end of the movie, they are still standing, smiling, victorious, courageously for the cause of Christ. We need that image of Christianity, not to roll over. Jesus loves everybody. We want men to be drawn to a risen, victorious Christ. One who overcame death, hell, and the grave. Not just one who fills your bank account or gives you a nice car or takes away all of your troubles. We need, we love, we crave watching movies where men are brave. And then, do you remember Rocky? You remember the movie Rocky? At the end of the Rocky movie, think about this. Sylvester Stallone made that movie on his own. And at the end of the Rocky movie, do you remember him? He's standing there. He's got his arms up in the air, and he's got the belt strapped around him. Says, "Yo, Adrian, we did it." Hey, folks, he lost. He didn't win that fight. He lost. "Yo, Adrian, we did it." Did what? Do you remember when he was sitting in his room, that old clucky old room that he had, and he's talking to the Lord? And he says, "You know, when this whole thing's over, when that bell rings and I'm still standing for the first time in my life, I'll know I'm not just another bum from the street." And he's standing there at the end of the movie. "Yo, Adrian, we did it." He didn't win. He persevered. He went through the fire. He took the punches. And at the end, "We did it. I made it through." See, we think the blessing of God brings comfort. I say the blessing of God brings conflict. Man, we're about out of time. "Yo, Adrian, we did it. I did it. I faced them down. I stared down them giants, and I'm still standing."
Amen, Coach.
That's what we need. That's the kind of, see, that kind of Christianity will draw men. Men are looking for something greater than themselves, something to lay their lives down for. Being on vacation, guys my age, retirement, they're down fishing in the Gulf. What a selfish, wasted life to be down fishing on the Gulf till the weather clears up in Ohio and then come back up here and play golf up here all day. What a wasted, wasted life. And hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars sitting in dead bank accounts that when the dude drops over, his kid's going to spend it all on stuff that the daddy never even believed in. All that money going to go to the devil's work.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
You know, just from personal experience. Now, this is not every case, but there are a number of cases where I've had an interaction with individuals, other men, and stuff like that, and they eagerly listen to and I'm not going to say the word accept, but easily listen to and are encouraged, it seems, by some of the basic truths that are in the Bible that are just 180 degrees wrong in the church that I often speak of when I talk to people. But yet, as soon as they get back into their environment of going to that social meeting in their four walls, they get convinced that I'm
You froze up, Larry.
There are some of those, not many, 5 years later may come back to me, and it's this happened. 5 years later, come back and say, hey, you were actually right. But most of them, they get sucked back into that mamby-pamby pit. I don't even want to say the word They get sucked in, and they relinquish control of their actions to the group thing.
Hey, boys, listen. The crown's at the top of the mountain, not at the bottom. You don't get a crown if you make it halfway up and sit there and rest. To the victor goes the spoils. And if you want to breathe that rarefied air, when you want to have a deeper personal relationship with the Lord, you're going to have to break free from the crowd. And I promise you right now, the crowds you're hanging around with are doing everything they can to pull you back into that box. They don't want to be free, nor do they want you to be free either. Yeah, Ray.
Coach, one thing I got from since I've tuned in watching your show and getting inspiration is the Lord had taught me to be faithful in little things. How can I trust you with greater things if you're not faithful with little things? And Every day, my goal right now is any little thing, Lord. I don't care if it's picking up a piece of trash down the street, witnessing, whatever way you lead me, I know he'll lead me into greater things if I'm faithful with what I have right here in front of me and be a, you know, that way.
I'm with you, Ray. Because see, it's the faithfulness of the little things that positions you for the greater things. The faithfulness in the little things that propels you for the greater things. Hey, Silver Joe, jump in out there. I always know that you got something wise to say. No?
I think he's muted.
Yeah. Are you muted, Joe? Because it looks to me like you're ready to go. We can't hear you, man. Is it on your end? Yeah, he'll figure it out. We got a couple minutes left. Anybody want to weigh in? Hey, boys, I want to go down standing up. I want when I die, and I pray this be yours. I pray this will be your vision too. When I die, I want people to say, oh my God, how are we ever going to replace him? No, I'll be replaced. But I want to have been like a pig pen, that little guy in Charlie Brown. I want to have kicked up so much dust that they're all going to notice that the dust ain't flying anymore. It's me. It's the way I want to live my life. I can't give you a vision. I can't give you a purpose. I can't give you. I can blow smoke at you, blow smoke up your hind end, tell you how good you are. But I can't overcome what you really believe about yourself inside. And here's the great news. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again child of God, the greater one lives inside of you. You're not denying your own strength. You're denying his strength through you. You're a dead man. You've already died.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, hey, just real quick. There was a time in my life when I was double-minded. And you know what? I'd hang around with people that weren't going anywhere, and I'd hang around with people that were going anywhere. And I'll tell you what, I drug down to the people that weren't going anywhere. So, guys, what changed for me is when I became single-minded, single-purpose, and made a decision in my heart to hang around men like Coach, men like all these guys in the QT era that are going somewhere. So make that decision today. It's the best decision you'll ever make.
Amen, baby. Amen.
Amen.
You are the company that you keep, right? Hey, folks, listen, we're building something here. I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. Point I'm trying to make to everybody out there watching today, the Lord needs you, man. The Lord needs you. We need you. I'm trying to figure out how to be more effective in training, equipping, and mobilizing you to walk out the gift that God gave you. Make a difference for the cause of Christ. At the end, baby, that's all it's going to matter. That's all it's going to matter. Don't forget JR tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.